Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right, well, the worst fears of Bills fans were realized on Thursday morning when it was announced by Sean McDermott that Matt Milano is out for an extended period of time. Not even sure if he'll be available this season with a torn bicep. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove, it's always game day in Buffalo. Matt, just devastating news for the Bills and their linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, arguably the most important player on that side of the ball, one of the Bills' best players overall, somebody who has worked so hard to try and come back, somebody who I know we've all wanted to see on the field for an extended period of time with Terrell Bernard because he had such a strong 2023 campaign. Devastating is a word that I know has been thrown around a lot, and sometimes I feel like it's a little bit dramatic because we are talking about a sport in football, but you feel for the guy because of what he's put in to try and get, you know, back onto the field. And just from a Bill standpoint, like, this is a really, really, really big obstacle you now need to overcome.
Yeah. How do they overcome that? Because we'll get into that, because obviously Dorian Williams becomes the you know, next man up. But let's just talk about the reaction to Matt Milano, because we talked to after practice today, Matt, when I was out at joint practice with the Steelers. Even actually, Deion Dawkins didn't even realize when we asked him about it that this was the situation until we told him. And then he said, I'm going to go in and call him. And we talked to Dorian. I talked to Tyler Medikevich, who was in the room last year with them. He's now with the Steelers. Terrell Bernard didn't want to talk to the media today. And I will tell you, you could see, I think Sean McDermott, just he was kind of somber today when he talked to the media right before going out. You could see the impact, because obviously Matt is a great player, but everybody's seen how hard he's worked to get back to being at this point to be ready to play football.
Yeah, I mean, what you're describing in painting the picture sounds eerily similar to when Tre'Davious White had his first injury after they won a game on Thanksgiving, or even a little bit of when Von Miller got injured on Thanksgiving. And I think they all realized, like, okay, yeah, this is a win, but we're going to deal with now this massive injury. This didn't happen after a win. So this was just all, hey, this is what's happening. This is what you now need to try and figure out how to deal with. And Terrell Bernard not speaking is a story within itself of that just shows how much he means to him, like how much Matt Milano means to Terrell Bernard. He is somebody who's very gracious with his time, very available. I would imagine today was a pretty emotional day for him as well. And for really the entire team, like Deion Dawkins, I heard him say, like, they were the same draft class together. Those are the guys that you want to try and win with, the guys who you've been in the trenches with for all these years. And now you might not get a chance to do that with one of your brothers for, you know, this next season, and stack that onto a season where you already had an injury last year. Like, that's really tough.
So there is a kind of silver lining to this if you want to try and make it that way, which is a couple things. We don't know if he's out for the season. There's a lot of different options and treatments available. There's going to be surgery involved. There's a lot of different kinds of surgeries, and there's a lot of different, you know, technological advances with these kinds of things. It's generally 3 to 4 months for a tear, but we don't know exactly what the tear is, how, you know, I guess how, you know, bad it is. It's a tear nonetheless. It's possible. In fact, when Adam Schefter tweeted out, he said maybe by December, they're hoping to get him back. So it is possible he could come back. The other silver lining would be this does give him a little more time with his leg, right? So if he does come back in this year, maybe it's a situation where he's not only healthy with his bicep, but even more healthy with his leg to be fresh and ready to go. And if the Bills have a good record, they're fighting for a division still, and even a conference, you get Matt Milano to join your team.
Yeah, for sure. That's really trying to look glass half full. That, and of course, we'll talk about Dorian Williams a little bit. This is a tough blow for the Bills. I am just going to kind of operate under the assumption that we don't see Matt Milano this year until we get to a point of maybe getting an update. But given the injuries coming back from, given the fact that there's going to probably be surgery required, did Sean say that? Is there definitely surgery required?
I'm pretty sure he confirmed there's going to be surgery.
So surgery, already pre-existing multiple injuries, player who's a veteran, who's been in the league for a long time. I'm sure he will do everything he can to get back. But at the same time, like, all of the stars need to align. It almost feels like Micah Hyde a couple years ago, where he got cleared in the playoffs to come back for the next game and they lost. Maybe it could be a couple weeks or a month before that, but I think plan to not have him, and then it could be a pleasant surprise if he's back.
Let's talk about how they're going to move forward, because obviously Dorian Williams now becomes the new player and a guy who we saw last year a little bit. He's got to step into this role. He's going into year number two. What did you see from Dorian in year number one? And what do you expect from him in year number two next to Terrell Bernard, assuming he will be the starting will linebacker for the Bills?
Good in the run game, flashes, concerning in the pass game. Now, young player, could absolutely get better, will get better. I'm betting on him getting better. The Bills are betting on him getting better. If he can be a fundamentally sound linebacker in pass coverage, then I think you feel pretty good about it because he's an athlete. He has flashed at times. The thing you wonder, though, about is, can he do it? Can he do it on a consistent basis? And can he do it with such a big sample size of, you know, an entire season? So big opportunity for him. I'll say, though, there's a lot of similarities to just the situation last year with Terrell Bernard, this year with Dorian Williams. Not saying they're the same player. We had the same conversation last year.
Yeah, we did.
What we're going to do next to Matt Milano, and Terrell Bernard ended up being a really, really good find. Dorian Williams was a third-round pick for a reason. Really good talent, like really talented. So maybe they find something with him too. That's the best-case scenario.
You remember last year, it's funny you say that. You say we had that conversation. You remember last year, not only we have the conversation, but it was A, is Terrell Bernard even big enough to play the position? And B, boy, he didn't look good in that one Jets game that he had to play the year before that, the one that Josh Allen got hurt and he had to play for Milano at will linebacker. And there were a lot of question marks, and Bills fans were really kind of questioning the draft pick itself, let alone, you know, the player, you know, what he could be. But he obviously turned out to be really good. I'm disappointed and sad for that reason, which is I've been saying for months now, my biggest excitement about the Bills this year might be seeing Milano and Bernard together. And here we go again. We're not going to get that chance.
Yeah, that stinks. I mean, in those first 4.5 games that they played together, they were pretty dynamic. They made a lot of plays. Like, that was the thing with Matt Milano, was you always got the splash plays and you just got consistent and reliability there, which I think with the linebackers and the way the Bills have built their defense, that's exactly what you're looking for. I'm worried about the defense. Just in general, moving forward. I think that this is now another hurdle that they need to overcome of, I've been worried about the safeties. Now I'm worried about the linebackers. I feel pretty good about the defensive line, but I don't know who's going to get home consistently to be the person who's generating the most pressure. So I'm a little concerned. Not a little. I am concerned about the defense. If Dorian Williams is really good, then that will ease my concern levels a little bit, but this is a player that it's going to really be hard for them to replace in Matt Milano.
Okay. Well, what they did last year when they lost Matt Milano, let's remember first Dorian Williams, and then it was Tyrell Dodson, who actually played pretty well at times. But what they ultimately wound up doing, Matt, was they played a lot of dime defense. And they said, we're going to take Jordan Poyer and make him a quasi linebacker. He's going to be your dime safety, essentially, play six defensive backs. And that could be some sort of formula here. And look, the way that offenses operate in the NFL these days with spread offenses and throwing it around, it's not the worst thing in the world. I wonder if we see a little bit more of that as well, because with Milano on the field, you're not doing that. You're playing two linebackers, nickel defense, the Bills, what they do with Taron Johnson, every single down, 1, 2, 3. But I wonder on third down now if it becomes more of a dime-heavy team.
I don't think that that's the wrong idea, but what personnel are they using? Because last year you had the luxury of having Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, and now you don't. So now, if you're going to go dime, you're going to put another, I don't want to say like undersized, because it doesn't have to be, but what are you going to put, Cam Lewis on the field, right? Like, are you going to put one of your others? Maybe that's where you use Cole Bishop whenever he is available to come back. Maybe that's a nice natural way of getting him onto the field. But
it's funny because, not to interrupt you, but I had said for a while, I see Cole Bishop kind of playing like a Jordan Poyer role of last year towards the end of the year. Maybe unfortunately, because of circumstance, that actually does become his role.
Sure. It just you just feel so different about it because there's a new defensive coordinator. You have no idea what you're getting out of Von Miller. You don't have Leonard Floyd to kind of round out your pass rush. Who knows what to expect from Terrell Bernard in year three, year two as a full-time starter. That's going to probably be what they have to do. I just don't know if they've got good enough personnel to pull it off and consistently be effective. The one thing I'll say about all of this, I do give Sean McDermott the benefit of the doubt with defense. It always feels like they figure things out defensively. So I do not think that this is, you know, the Bills season is done. It's over. They have no chance. But I do think, like, okay, Sean, you're a defensive-minded head coach. You better be in your bag and figuring some stuff out with Bobby Babich to make sure this does not become the thing that costs you, you know, a chance at going to the playoffs or obviously even further.
Bobby Babich, also obviously the coach of the linebackers the last few years, he knows what he has in that room. So, you know, if there's any, at least, again, silver lining, I'll use that word, that phrasing, that he knows kind of what those guys can do and the positions that he can put them in or not put them in to maybe be successful. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove, it's always game day in Buffalo. My apologies, by the way, I'm in my Pittsburgh hotel room and I just noticed, like, got my backpack on the bed behind me. I'm like, man, I'm staring at that thing. It's not a good look. It's just a backpack sitting there. Kind of looks like I'm messy over here. I try not to be, but that's the way it goes. Matt, I came back from the Steelers Bills joint practice. That's what happened out at Acrisure Stadium on Thursday. And I'll tell you, I thought it was a really good day overall, just for both teams to get a lot of work in. You have wins, you have losses, a lot of different things going on. Goal line, red zone, you know, just 11 on 11, one on ones. It started off a goal line period, starting offense for the Bills on one side, starting offense for the Steelers on the other side. I was with the Bills offense watching. First play, Josh Allen looks right and then comes right back to the left, and James Cook is wide open for a touchdown. After that, incompletion to Mac Hollins. And on the next play, touchdown to Dalton Kincaid. Two of the first three plays, right from the 2 yard line, touchdown passes from Josh Allen. Started off really nice.
Yeah, so I'm interested in this because you're there. I'm on my way to Pittsburgh tomorrow morning, so Friday morning, to come down for the preseason game. Who had the better day? This is joint practice. Was it the Bills? Was it the Steelers? Because it was fascinating to me because I follow people who cover the Steelers, and obviously I follow everybody who covers the Bills for the most part. And depending on what timeline I was looking on, I felt like I was getting mixed messaging. Well, is it a better day for the Bills? Is it a better day for the Steelers? From your perspective and vantage point, who had the better day and what players stood out?
See, I don't know who had the better day. I think they were about even. You could get wins and losses for both sides. So I think that when you look at it through the Bills prism, Bills reporters will tell you, oh yeah, that was really good, because you know what they're trying to accomplish, or even the bad. And the same thing's going to happen from the Steelers. I'll tell you what I really liked about the Bills today was they controlled and even dominated the middle of the field with their first team offense, something I think they really want to do. The highlight players of the day were the middle of the field players, the tight ends. Now, Dawson Knox did not practice. Dalton Kincaid was just catching everything. Khalil Shakir, Quentin Morris, Zach Davidson, all getting in on the act. I thought that was a really good day for the Bills.
Okay, cool. And then I saw a lot of posts about Ray Davis. What did Ray Davis do today that was so impressive? Because apparently he had a really nice day.
One-on-ones, getting involved in the passing game, beating a couple guys down the field that looked really nice. I thought his passing game, you know, what he did in the passing game today was really nice. Didn't see a lot of runs, but I think there was one in there that, you know, was a really nice run. They weren't really tackling to the ground. They were doing more like an up thud. I'll tell you this though, James Cook to me had a much better day today than he's had a camp.
Okay.
He was holding onto the ball, and that included one-on-ones and 7-on-7.
Did it get feisty at any point?
Yeah, a couple times, but nothing too bad. One was, there was a legit like sack between like Rousseau and Von Miller kind of getting on. I think it was, might have been an Oliver in there. I think Rousseau was in there, and they were kind of, they kind of went up in the air. And when they came down, it just by their own length, Rousseau hit Russell Wilson and he kind of fell down, and Steelers didn't like that. Right. But it wasn't like he was trying to necessarily. Kyrie Elam got into it with somebody after a punt play. And then there was another play where Khalil Shakir caught the ball. A DB kind of threw him to the ground. I think it was more because Shakir's just kind of a smaller guy. He wasn't trying to throw him to the ground, or otherwise he's kind of just take him down a little bit. And Spencer Brown didn't like that. He got in, he pushed the guy. Guy gets up, he tries to hit Spencer, but he's looking up in the air so high. It was tough. So they get separated. To me, it was a really good day with all that. Like, they got a lot accomplished. It was really good. A couple of the bad parts for the Bills. Mitch Trubisky comes in on that goal line session, and him and Alec Anderson, two straight fumbles off the snap. Can't have that. Yeah. You know, he got it. And then Cedric Van Pran Granger came in and took over for Alec Anderson, you know, in that moment. Kyer Elam, a really bad pass interference penalty that he shouldn't have taken. The Bills had quite a few of those holding and pass interference penalties and one-on-ones. Those got to be, you know, cleaned up a little bit. And the other thing I didn't like was, and we saw this last week, the Steelers quarterbacks got to the edge too much in rollout situations and had too many options. And that's got to be something the Bills address.
Yeah. Well, it's not like they were really trying to address that with the draft, right? That was one of the things that when I saw your post, I'm like, that's not really been an area that they've addressed. They bring back AJ Epinesa, and then it's just been like, yeah, Javon Solomon, but who knows what Javon Solomon is going to be. So we'll see as they move forward, but it's good to hear that it was an overall pretty even day and that the Bills actually had a lot of wins mixed into it. Let me ask you this as we wrap up, because this is just, I know everybody listening or watching, really quick episode. We wanted to just touch base and get you like an emergency episode because of the Milano news. So thank you for understanding. Last one for me. You think the starters play on Saturday? Because after listening to Sean talk, I know he was very noncommittal. I kind of think they're going to play again.
Feels like they might. I wonder if he uses today to say, like, because he wouldn't commit. And he said it's unfair because they're going out to play this game today, this practice. It's unfair to me to talk about Saturday. I wonder if how they play today might factor in if they play on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised either way. I don't know if we're even going to know that until Saturday.
Yeah, that's the what's weird to me, because I'm thinking about, admittedly, you think about your job, you think about what you have to do. I'm thinking about getting down there and going on TV on Saturday at 6 o'clock before the game starts and talking about, will we see Josh Allen, will we not? It'll be very much like, you know, trying to figure out, okay, he's on the field. He's got cleats on. Does he have a helmet? Is he throwing? Is he really warming up? You're going to try and figure all of those things out. So I don't know if we'll find out before. I don't think they should, because listen, like, they just have a devastating injury in practice. I think anytime you can avoid potential disaster, you should. But they played two games last year, so I'm assuming they're going to do two this year.
All right, Matt, enjoy your trip up to Pittsburgh, down to Pittsburgh, I guess. Be safe on your trip to Pittsburgh. I am headed to the Bruce Springsteen concert here tonight in Pittsburgh. So that should be fun in here for a couple of days. So you enjoy your time here, and we'll catch up this weekend and give everybody another episode soon enough.
You got a favorite Springsteen song?
I think it might be Born to Run.
That's my dad's favorite Springsteen.
Yeah,
I love Born to Run. Cannot talk today. What was the word I was trying to say earlier that I couldn't say?
You were trying to say something. I can't remember what it was. You're right.
Bruce Springsteen. My dad's favorite Bruce Springsteen song was Born to Run. And I actually added that to the playlist last weekend.
I did too. It was on my playlist to drive to the stadium. I created a playlist just because you and I talked about the playlist. I had Iron Maiden on there. I think at Eminem, you know, Lose Yourself. I think I had something like that. And I think every week I'm going to switch it up. We're going to switch it up on this episode by giving you a very brief one, but we thank you for watching at Sal Sports on YouTube. Of course, you can always follow us along here. You got at Matt's underscore Bove at Sal Sports. Follow us on Twitter. And of course, listen to us wherever you pod. Matt, be safe on the way up, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. I'll see you soon.